Whole meeting tonight, let's start by singing number 10. Number 10, there is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine. Number 10. There's a verse, a couple verses in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 24. Tonight, if you don't have a Bible, just listen. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Tonight, it's not important what I have to say. It's important what the word of God has to say. Tonight, the authority is the word of God. You know, I could have a lot of crazy ideas, and you know, they wouldn't be appropriate for what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight, your eyes should not be on me, but they should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Tonight, there may not be anything that you have not ever heard. There's a verse that was quoted there when we prayed, and it's a verse that's in the Old Testament. Not very long into the Bible, in this verse, we have this verse, and it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You know, the Spirit of God is in this room tonight, and it can take the Word of God and it can apply it to your heart tonight. But you have to let it root into your heart. I can't do that for you. The friend who brought you can't do it for you. The person who invited you can't do that for you. Your parents can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. You have to accept the Word of God to be true. It says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Before we go any further, we have to establish the authority. The authority is the Word of God. I want to read in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're not going to turn to a lot of scriptures tonight. In John chapter 1, if you don't know your Bible very well, a good place to start reading your Bible would be John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came into this world. God's Son became a man, and He came to this planet Earth. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." He always was a Son, as we heard. He was a Son of God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." In verse 7, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe." Verse 10, or verse 9, pardon me, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." That is the Savior that we have to proclaim tonight. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Do you know Him tonight as your personal Savior? Maybe you're a child in this room, and you've sat through a lot of gospel meetings, and you're not saved yet. Tonight, We can just stop right now. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe you've done bad things? Do you believe that you have told a lie? Have you ever told a lie? One lie, it says, will keep you out of heaven. That's what Revelation says. One lie. I've told a lot of lies. There's not anyone in this room that could raise their hand and say they've never told a lie. But one lie, it says, will keep you out of heaven. Have you ever done anything wrong? Yes, you have. What does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has a standard, and His standard is holiness. God cannot have one sin in His presence. If you want to go to God's home, you have to go God's way. And God's way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have your sins washed away. God is holy. He cannot have sin in His house. His home is called heaven. You can't go to be with the Lord Jesus where He lives with His Father, where He is seated on the right hand of God. You can't go there with your sins. Tonight, have you had your sins washed away? If you say, I haven't had my sins washed away, all you have to do is just close your eyes right where you are. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to make this embarrassing. You don't have to wait. You can just close your eyes right where you're at. This doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with you and your eternal destiny. Tonight, you can change your eternal address, where you're going to be after you die. Where are you going to be after you leave this world? Are you going to be with Christ, which is far better? Is that where you're going to be? You cannot be with Him in your sins. You have to have your sins washed away. It says Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You have to have your sins washed away. Tonight, little girl, little boy, maybe you're not going to understand anything else that I say, but tonight, you can just close your eyes, and you can just ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. Right where you're at, that's all you have to do. It will make all the change, all the difference in the world, because He promises you a brand new life. It says, in Him was life. Tonight He wants to give you a brand new life. He doesn't want to change your life. He wants to give you a brand new one. You know, when you're born in this world, you came with a nature that likes to sin. You were born lost. There was nothing you had to do. There was nothing my parents had to do to teach me to sin. No one taught me how to sin. I was born lost. I have a nature inside of me that wants to displease God, and so do you. And but for the grace of God, I got saved at a gospel meeting when I was 6 years old. And my sins were washed away. And I got a brand new life. And that life wants to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you knew me, you would know I'm a failure. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not the reason tonight why you should get saved. He's the reason why you should get saved. He hung on a cross. He hung on that cross and died for your sins. I don't have anything to do with this. I am just reading the Word of God and telling you and pointing to Him. Tonight, you have to have your sins washed away. You know, there's three questions that everybody asks themselves. Where did I come from? Well, this first verse answers that question. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You can either believe the Word of God, or you can believe what's on the street, what's on the air, what's ever in a book, what's ever on the internet. You got to choose tonight who you want to believe. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. It says, in the beginning, God. Where did you come from? You were created in His image. You were created for a purpose. Why am I here? That's another. I've never sat next to a person in a plane with a conversation where they didn't agree that there's three questions. And that's not original with me. Lots of people know that. Lots of people have asked that. And every single person has those three questions going through. And if they've never been answered, they're right at the top. They're right at the top. Why am I here? Why am I here? Isaiah chapter 42. There's an answer there. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, it says in verse 7, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That kind of answers two things. Where did I come from and why am I here? All in one verse. You were created to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're created for, to bring God glory. But in your sins, you cannot glorify God. There's nothing you can do that's right with God. All of your righteousness, as it says, are as filthy rags. That's the best you can do to bring to God is your filthy rags. That's not good enough. Remember, God can't have one sin in His presence. So you were created. For I have created Him for my glory. If that's why you were created, then how can you glorify Him without having your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where am I going? Hebrews. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 9. It says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You know, if that's all we read tonight, this would be a very depressing meeting. In your sins, that's what you have to look forward to. You are on your way to hell if you are carrying your sins with you tonight. If you have sins on you tonight, you are on your way to hell. And there's judgment to follow. And you can have your ashes spread all over the world. People do all kinds of weird things because they think that God can't raise them up again to judge them. But He will raise them up, and they will meet Him at the great white throne, and He will not be the Savior that we're talking about tonight. He'll be their judge. But you know, the next verse is the solution. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's why we're here tonight. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. Can you say tonight He bore my sins in His own body on the tree? There's questions that have to be answered. You know, we heard about people that say there's not a God, or they don't believe anymore. You know, I remember a man not too long ago. He was in my office, And he told me that he doesn't believe. He used to believe this. He got saved, but now he's a Mormon. Well, my brother told me, you know, once saved, always saved, so I guess he's still saved. You know, well, we talk about that. He's still saved. You know, this isn't something that you can do to yourself. This isn't something that I can do to you. This is something that Christ does to you. He washes your sins away. When you are saved, you are saved. You can't get away. It says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. You cannot get yourself out of his hand. Once you're saved, you're saved. Can you displease him? Can you sin? Yes, you can. And it says we have an advocate. But tonight, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You have needs and you have answers. And the answers are going to be found right here. You know, I've heard people say that I don't believe in things that I can't see. I'm sure there's people here that have heard people say that I will believe when I see. You know, Thomas was one of those guys in the Bible. He would believe when he saw with his eyes. And you know what the Lord Jesus did? He showed himself to Thomas. He let him put his finger in his side. Feel those wounds in his side. You know what he says? Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Tonight, I can't show you the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't show you his hands. I can't show you his feet. I can't show you his side. But tonight, I can tell you that the Lord Jesus can wash your sins away. There is many, many proofs in this room of lives that have been changed. He can give you a brand new life. He can make you happy. He's not going to take all your problems away, but he's going to go with you because he promises to indwell you with his Holy Spirit. That's what I can tell you. You know, in this room, you can't see the air. Is there anybody that doesn't believe there's air in this room? There's air in this room, but I can't see it. You ask me to prove it to you, I can't prove it to you right now. Didn't go to college, don't know. Don't know how that stuff works. But I know there's air in here. There's air in this room right here. And you know what? I know as the Lord Jesus came to this world to save sinners. I know it. I have seen lives changed. When men and women, tough men, tough women who want to do it their way, they get to their deathbed. They want something else. You know, I don't know if you're going to have a deathbed. Sometimes God is very gracious and gives you a deathbed where you got lots of warning. Not always. Don't count on it. There is a time for everyone when you cannot do this on your own. Are you to that point? You don't have to wait till you're 50 years old. You don't have to wait till you're 6 years old. I remember at 6 years old thinking I was the worst sinner in the whole room. Because the Spirit of God wants to take the Word of God. And it takes you and it quickens you. And it says, Scripture says in Ephesians that you're dead in trespasses and sins. You know, a dead man doesn't feel any weight on him. You could take one of those big concrete blocks that we pick up with the excavator, they're 2,000 pounds. You could put it on top of a dead person and he wouldn't feel it. But you put life in that person and they will beg for mercy. Tonight, the Spirit of God would like to take the Word, of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, is what it says in Hebrews, the Word of God. And it wants to take that and make you alive. Let's just read that. sharper than any two-edged sword. One has said it's two-edged. It's one edge for the speaker and another one for the hearer. You know, Satan does not want the Word of God to be given out. Satan would like to point out every single thing that's wrong with me and make me not want to give the gospel out. That's what Satan wants to do. He's an accuser of the brethren. You have an enemy of your souls. And if you're not saved, you have a master. And that is your master. That's all you have. You have no other master. You've got one master, and that's Satan. I want to look at Luke 23. Tonight, I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said that this room is divided into two sections. We're going to read a few verses here in Luke 23 and verse 34. Let's start at 33. Luke 23 and verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. That's where I want to take you tonight. That's the only thing that really matters. What a Son of God became my Savior. God became a man. And came and walked this planet. And at 33 years old, they had him carry his cross. And then, just to make sure that he could stay alive for this crucifixion, a man carried that cross the rest of the way. I heard that cross is maybe over 300 pounds. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, carrying his cross to Mount Calvary so he could hang on that cross for you and for me? Verse 34. Let's finish 33. There, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one and the other on the left. Tonight, think about what we just read there. There's three crosses. There's one center cross with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a thief on either side of him. Those thieves divide this room tonight. You know, there's no one in glory. There's no one that will ever be in glory that didn't come as a sinner. Tonight, if you want to be saved, you have to come as a helpless, guilty sinner. You've stolen from God. You've taken glory from Him. You're a thief. A saved thief is a saint. I'm looking at a lot of saved thieves here, saints. Called ones, chosen. But you had to take your place as a sinner. And here, we're going to read about these two thieves. In verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments, and they cast lots. And the people stood by, beholding, and the ruler also with them. They derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. In another gospel it says they both railed on him. Both of those thieves made fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in verse 40, one of them says, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear not thou fear God? See, now we're in the same condemnation. Dost not thou fear God?" Tonight, I want to ask you that question. Dost not thou fear God? Do you fear God tonight? Do you reverence God? Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that verse that was read today? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you believe that? Do you believe tonight that you can just bow your head and say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and You are the Savior, and I want to have my sins washed away"? This thief right here realized that that man on that center cross was God. He was different. He wasn't like any other man. He heard those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You might not understand it tonight, but Jesus has the power to forgive your sins. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Let's talk about that for a minute. This is the holy, spotless Lamb of God. God had one Son. Perfect. In a past eternity, there was a question. Who shall we send? Who will go for us? "I will go. Send me." The obedient one, obedient to His Father, willing to fulfill the Father's will. There was no one I really like listening to Ernie Wakefield give the gospel. I'm sure you can tell. There was a story that he told about a ship going across the Atlantic. The ship sprung a leak. One of the men came up to the captain, told the captain, "There's a leak. The ship's going to go down." The captain said, "Get the pumps. Start pumping." Came back, "Not going to do it." Lined everybody up on the deck. He said, "Men, it's one man to go down and put his arm in the hole, or we're all going to die. It's one or all of us." No one offered. Young man said, "I'll go, Father." The captain's son went down. He dove down in the hole. He put his arm in that hole. And the ship made it. This ship, this creation, had a hole in it about 6,000 years ago. Sin came into the world. God had to send His Son. This world was tainted by sin, ruined by sin. Not too far in the Bible, to the Word of God, it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it says that it repented God that He made man. I don't even understand that verse. Sin is terrible. It destroys homes. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys your health. Destroys the animal kingdom. It destroys all kinds of things. It's just terrible. Satan is the father of lies. Man believed a lie. There was only one man that could save us. And that was the man, Christ Jesus. Because he was the only one that always was perfectly obedient to his Father. He was the only one that was holy, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He did no sin. He could not sin. And in him was no sin. It says in Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." All my sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, that he was made sin for me. It says that the Lord Jesus was made sin. God made the Lord Jesus sin so I could go free. Let's look at that. Let's keep looking at Luke. "And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried the loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Think about that. "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." There was 3 hours when God could not look upon his Son, when he took my sins in his own body on the tree. All that suffering, we heard about the crown of thorns. We've heard about the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet hanging there on that cross. But that will not pay for your sins. The Lord Jesus suffered on that cross so I will not have to suffer. I could suffer and suffer and suffer for all eternity, but I am not a holy, spotless sacrifice. There is nothing I could do to pay for my sins. Nothing I could do. It says, "Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice himself." That sacrifice is so perfect that God was satisfied. God is 100% satisfied with the death of his Son. It's been said, God would have to reject his Son to turn his back upon me. The Lord Jesus was my substitute. He is my redeemer. He's the lover of my soul. Do you know tonight that the Lord Jesus loves you? He loves you so much that it says by the foolishness of preaching, tonight the world calls this foolishness. But you know what? He wants the preaching of the cross, it says, is foolishness. He wants the gospel preached because he loves you so much. He does not want you to go to hell because the time to decide for the Lord Jesus is in time, not in eternity. You tell me how long your life is. And that's how long you have. How long is your life going to be? When is the Lord Jesus coming? You tell me, and that's how much time you have. You know, foolish men, Foolish women, they say, I will get saved and I will accept right before I die. How smart is that? That doesn't even sound smart to, you know, anybody in the medical field. How do you know when you're going to die? That's crazy. You know, the father of lies, Satan, he whispers in your ear, wait. This is just another gospel meme. It doesn't matter. He wants you to walk out that room and be miserable because he wants company with sinners just like you in hell. That's what he wants. That's all he wants, is to make you miserable. Tonight, who do you want? Do you want Satan to be your master, or do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's look at this verse 42. Not only does the Lord Jesus, this thief, ask if the Lord Jesus can remember him when he comes to his kingdom. He hasn't come to his kingdom yet. You know what Jesus says? He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today, right there. He didn't make him wait. He'd still be waiting for the Lord Jesus to set up his kingdom. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, the Lord Jesus has the best for you involved. You know, there's a lie, and that lie is that God is not good. That was the first lie in the Bible. Half God said, you know, does God really, really love me? Is God really as good as what he says he is? You know, most of the world knows God, they think they know, a God with a steel pipe that's ready to come down on you, and an angry God as soon as you do something wrong. They don't know a father that has love. I've said it before. That man that I met from India, wow. I gave him the gospel. Glad my taxi was, it was 3 hours outside the door, and he turned it off for me. He said, you're telling me that a father would give his son for a sinner? He said that three times. He said, you're telling me that a father that loved his son would give him for a sinner? And I said, yes, I am. That is the God that I am here to tell you. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giving God. He wants to give you the best, but he can't have your sins. And he's offered a remedy tonight. He wants to wash your sins away. The blood of Christ can wash all your sins away. I'm going to read two verses. One is in clear, almost in the back of the Bible. And it says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's how you can be clean tonight. Just accept what he wants to offer you tonight. One of the last verses in the Bible I want to read to you. Hell is real. Hell is a real place. People make fun of hell, but it's real. If heaven's real, then hell is real. Heaven is real. Heaven is where Jesus is. The hell is where Satan will be bound. One of the last pleas in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22. It's almost like after this whole book of judgment and Revelation, there's one more appeal before the book is shut. You know, tonight is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Does the Lord Jesus know that you're His tonight? Have you asked Him to have your name written in His book? That's the only book that's important. You know, men are very, very, it's a big deal to have your name somewhere. People want to be famous. They want to have letters after their name. Don't worry about your retirement account tonight. Don't worry about what you're going to do in 5 minutes. Worry about where you're going to spend the rest of your life in eternity. Where? It says eternity where? It floats in the air. Where are you going to spend eternity? Have you thought about it? Maybe you should just thank the Lord that you had 45 minutes tonight. Just sit in your chair and think about where you're going to be for the rest of your life. And after this life, where are you going to be? After time, eternity. It says in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Tonight, it cost God everything to be able to offer this water of life to you for free. You know, people think the gospel's cheap. It costs God everything. It's free to you tonight because it costs God His Son. This is one of the last appeals in the Word of God. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's commend ourselves.